Welcome to our podcast. For Raising Arizona Kids Magazine, I'm Vicki Balint. This fall, Bob Cooper, producing artistic director for Valley Youth Theater, begins his 17th year with the company. He talks about taking risks, keeping the audition process positive, and how theater families bolster the confidence of young actors on stage and in life. We began the interview by asking Bob about his first visit to a professional theatrical performance.
I believe I was in 10th grade, and I'm originally from the Detroit area. And in my drama club, we loaded a bus, and we went downtown to the Fisher Theater. And we went into this very old building with the ceilings that were beautifully painted, very ornate building. Went into the theater and proceeded to go into the ozone somewhere, the highest part of the theater, the upper balcony, beyond balconies, and sat down. Show started, the overture. It was Annie. And I was just mesmerized. Even that far up and that far away, that music, that show, that story just drew me in, and I just fell in love with that story. And the sets were beautiful. The talent was amazing. I remember at the end, it was snowing. You could see it snowing through the window. It was just, and I couldn't believe all that was happening on stage. And I think a friend of mine had binoculars, so I was able to really zoom in and see things closely, and fascinated with the show.
So it was magic.
Indeed it was.
And how old were you?
I was 15.
Oh, okay. So you didn't, one of those younger kiddos that their parents takes them early on to see theater at all?
And no.
This was the first time.
Yes.
As a teenager.
Yes.
Okay. So when did you know that you wanted to work in the theater, when you wanted to be a part of all that?
I think it always was a part of me. I just didn't really solidify that deal until probably that might have been that day. It was something that I knew that I needed to be a part of, that, you know, when I got into high school and I really got into it. I mean, I wrote my first play when I was in fifth grade, so it was always something that I was a part of. And when I was a little kid, there was a stump next door to my house in a vacant lot. And so I'd have all the neighbor kids down, and I didn't even know what I was doing at the time, but I literally was directing. I was, you know, we were recreating Lost in Space on this stump, and you know,
oh, Lost in Space.
Yeah. And Leave It to Beaver, and, you know, okay, I'm dating myself a little bit. Of course, I was watching it on Nicktoons just a few years ago.
Of course.
But I think the more and more that I was doing it, the more and more I knew that that was my calling. It was something that really touched my life and meant something to me. And actually, it's kind of what helped me get through high school.
Get through high school. So high school was a challenge and bumpy?
Well, not to get too personal, but if it weren't for theater, I wouldn't have graduated high school. When you asked about parents, I've been on my own since I was 15. And so my parents never took me to anywhere to see anything. And so it was theater that gave me a place, a sense of belonging. And it was the camaraderie and the friendship and the risks that you needed to take there, and it was okay to take those risks, and the challenges and the learning experience and all of that kept me in school.
So it was like having another family.
Absolutely.
And did you live with friends? Or
I lived with my sister for a part of 10th grade, and 11th and 12th grade I lived with a friends that I met in the theater, an Italian family. So my Italian mother was from Sicily, and they were incredible people. They had a big family, and one more was just good enough for them.
That must have been tough not to have parents during high school.
I had theater.
So let's talk a little bit about what does the producing artistic director do exactly? What's your job?
I think the shorter version of that is, what don't I do? It varies from place to place, but at Valley Youth Theater, I pretty much am responsible for all the artistic aspect aspects of the organization. I'm responsible for the fiscal responsibility and aspects of the organization, the managerial aspects. I work with a team that I oversee and manage everything from our marketing and communications director to audience services to education director, development, pretty much from an administration side. And then I work with all of the artisans and technicians from our costume designer, musical director, technical director, stage managers. I also direct out of the six shows we do each year. I fully direct four of them. One is a remount of an award-winning show that I did, Winnie the Pooh Christmas Tale. And but I produce all of the shows. We do six shows a year. If the toilet needs cleaning, I'll do that.
It's all like part of the family.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the kids that participate in theater. How do they benefit from being a part of that theater family?
I think theater is kind of individual for each person. For me, it meant a place where it was safe. It meant a place where I was loved and accepted. It means the same thing to the kids here. There are kids who come to Value Theater, and I say Value Theater, not theater in general, but I think in many ways theater in general is, but there's really a special magic about Value Theater, that this is a place where you can arrive on the light rail, or you can arrive in a Hummer, and none of that matters. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, whether you're a boy, a girl, you're 7, you're 17, none of that matters. It's all about working together as a team and understanding and respecting each other and their differences and working together to put on an incredible production. And our 23 years of existence, I think the results ring true. The show that audiences see is the result of these young people working together with no barriers in their way and creating that special magic.
So the theater staged the premiere of the Freckle-Faced Strawberry production. It's actually going on right now, I guess, right? It's been extended.
It was extended.
So that tackles the impact that teasing can have on kids. Talk about that message and talk about the way you choose a play and maybe if you'd like for it to have a message such as that for kids.
There's a lot of factors that go into choosing a production. Pretty much all of my life, because of my struggles as a child, have always been about providing quality experiences for young people to learn and grow without it kind of being in your face. So with a story like Freckle-Faced Strawberry, you know, thank goodness Julianne Moore wrote such a delightful book and it was adapted to a musical. Because that story brought to such large audiences that we had here at Value Theater, and it played in New York for over a year, and still actually now it's been a couple of years playing. The original cast was there for a year. Was where young people could see in a fun, light experience the ramifications of teasing, the ramifications of not accepting somebody just because they were different. And it's not an lecture or lectorial type of experience. It's more, they're watching it, they're enjoying the songs, and they're seeing firsthand. And you can almost reach out and touch it. So I think it has so much more power than seeing it on television or seeing it in a film. And in our production, there's a song about different. And at the end of the production, the cast went through the audience and pulled children up and brought them on stage to show that we're all different. So, you know, there are tall children, dark-haired children, brown-eyed children, blue-eyed children, and they all danced along and were part of the cast, and it really was very special. So, that was, about that. We've done things like we did Titanic a number of years ago, and whereas we know the third-class people, most of them perished because for some reason we thought they weren't important enough. And that taught a lot of lessons about the disparaging things that happened to people who were in third class. And when we did that show, we actually, for the cast, we really tried to make the experience for them something special too, where we put them, they were in classes, casting classes. So there were first class passengers, second class, third class. And during the whole rehearsal process, which is not the way we do it normally, we don't like cliques, we want everyone to be together, we separated everybody. So if you were a first-class passenger, you were not to talk to a third-class passenger, and vice versa. And same with second class, while they were in this building. We encouraged them afterwards to do it, but while they're here for the whole rehearsal process, they weren't allowed, so that they could understand what that was like. And it was very uncomfortable for them and for all of us. But I think they really, really were able to feel that because they were a part of it. And that's what the beauty of theater is. When you go to a theater, you can feel it because you're a part of it.
So as you're talking about that, I can see that it's kind of emotional for you just to think about being excluded. Did you have a personal experience where you were excluded, bullied, teased?
Absolutely. From as long as I can remember. When I was in grade school, it was in the 60s, the late 60s. People's hair were growing longer.
Yes, I remember.
My stepmother made me get a brush cut. And probably most of your listeners may not know what that is, but it's buzzed down to your head. Now it's kind of cool again.
It wasn't.
But back then, it wasn't in the 60s. And so I would have kids coming up, you know, the bullies grabbing me around the neck and giving me the noogie on the head. It went from that to then I got, you know, because of the stress of it, I got heavy, so I was teased for being fat. Then went from being teased from being fat to pimples and acne, and it went from pimples and acne to, because I was in theater, you know, the jocks thought I was not as jockey as they would like, and which did, you know, at that point, by the time I had gone through all those things, I really found myself and found that it was okay. I felt sorry for them. I felt, you know what, it's a shame that you feel it's important as a large group, and it was always groups. It tended, you know, to be more over groups than individuals picking on individuals, although I did have the individuals, and I, you know, I was beaten up by a number of people over the time. That, you know, I felt pity for them, that there wasn't something better in their life and that they couldn't see the beauty in everything and they had to pick on me. So, but it I think some of that helped form who I am today. In my past life, when I lived in Los Angeles and I had my children's entertainment company, I wrote a children's album. And the title song on the album was I Like Me. And it was all about liking yourself in spite of what others might say about you. And it was our most popular song. And so I totally can connect to young people that are being bullied and teased. And it's really a shame. But I would just say to them, feel sorry for those people that are teasing you, because those people are not happy with themselves. Because if they were, then they wouldn't be bothering you.
That's well said. So let's talk a little bit about how you choose a child for a particular role. Because there is tension about making it, getting the part. And if you don't get the part, that's another way that kids can feel excluded.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that.
That, you know, that's very, very difficult in theater, especially for value theater. The last thing we want to do is make any child feel that they're not worthy. So I think that for us, it starts from the moment the audition, when they come to the audition, excuse me. We talk before everybody auditions about the matching process, and that if you aren't cast or you're not called back, it doesn't mean that you failed. It just meant that the match wasn't there for you this time. That it, you know, it's a matching process, and we're looking for specific characters and things. And I use this silly analogy of, you know, if a mouse comes to an audition and we're casting for the role of an elephant. Now, the mouse has won many awards, fantastically talented mouse, but the mouse doesn't get the part because we're looking for an elephant. So the mouse goes away feeling secure and fine with himself, and the mouse keeps on auditioning, and you'd be amazed at the smiles and the understanding on people's faces when they hear and they see that. We strive to make that audition process as positive as possible and to give each young person as much of an opportunity as possible to so we can see what's there. Oftentimes we'll come into an audition, we don't know exactly what we're looking for, and we're inspired by the young people that come to the audition. So we hope that they won't go away feeling rejected. You can't always, you know, you can't guarantee that. But, you know, the unfortunate part of this business is if you really want to be in this business, you're going to have a strong exterior to just brush that off and move on, because, and not take it personally. And that's what we really strive to do.
Any tips for the mom or dad waiting in the car that is on the other end of the bad news? How to cope with that? How to get them through it?
Well, you know, for us and for Valley Youth Theater, the parents are in the room when we talk to them as a group. I would hope that they would reinforce what we said, so that, you know, if the call doesn't come and that child is disappointed, you know, don't ever say, well, don't be disappointed. Hello, we're going to be disappointed. But it's managing that disappointment and not internalizing it and feeling bad about yourself. It's okay to be disappointed. I was an actor. I've been disappointed many, many, many times. But I learned long ago that I had to let it go, because you can't just keep bottling that up inside. So for the parents, really encourage your child, you know, and encourage them to try again. Encourage, you know, if they want to sing, they want to dance, they want to act, go to a reputable place that they can get these lessons and do these things, because it's important. It's not important to go pay thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of dollars for photographs and places like that that are promising you the world, because it ain't going to happen. But it is important, if they want to do this, to get them the support they need to go out there and do those things, and to encourage them. I've had situations where sometimes the parents, oh, I think you need to have a license to have to be a parent.
Referring to maybe the so-called stage moms,
stage dads. I mean, I've had a situation many situations where I could tell the child didn't really want to be there. The parent was living vicariously through the child. That's tragic. And so really listen to your child. You know, let them do the things that they want to do, as long as they're good. You know, I mean, we're not going to let them get into drugs, and we're not going to let them be on the street. But if your family's in medicine and they suddenly want to go into politics, I don't know why, but let them do that. You know, encourage them. And the same with this. If your child comes home and they're disappointed, you know, be there for them. Don't push them into things. I had another situation where a teenager came in and she literally was bawling her eyes out and said, please don't cast me. My dad is forcing me to do this. I do not want to do this. This is not what I want to do. It left a lasting impression on me. I will never forget that day ever. I mean, we had to take a few minutes when she left, because I sobbed after that. My musical director, Mark Fury, he sobbed. It was, you know, I'm getting a little emotional right now thinking about it. Parents, don't push your children into things that they're just not ready or not wanting to do. Encourage what the beauty is inside of them and what they want to do.
But then you have some kids that come in, and you have had ones that go on. We know the names. There's the Emma Stones and the Jordan Sparks. Do you sense that a child performer, a youth performer, has that certain something? Or is it hard work, combination of just keeping at it, like you said? Or
I see children every day that I think have something special. I've seen many Emma Stones that have not gotten to where Emma Stone is right now. There's so many factors that are involved in becoming a working artist, then elevating to a celebrity, a superstar. The stars aligned for Emma Stone. She did have a special something. From the moment I saw her, I knew there was something about that child, and worked with her for a very long time. But again, I've worked with other young people that the stars haven't necessarily aligned for them. And it has nothing to do with talent. You know, if you don't make it, you could be the most talented person in the world and not make it. It's about being at the right place at the right time, having the resources with which to support what you do, and there's just so many different factors. And it's crazy. I scratch my head every day thinking about, how was it that in 2007, four kids from Valley Youth Theater all hit it in the same year in movies, television, theater, and recording artists? And every single day I find out more and more of our young people. You know, we have Nick Cartel is on Broadway right now in Jesus Christ Superstar. We've got kids in several of the national tours across the country. We have kids in some and most of the major theaters in town right now. So I think the Arizona Republic once wrote, "What's in the water at VYT?" I really have to say that what's in the water at VYT is we give them the encouragement, we help them get the tools that they need in order to be successful, and not just in the entertainment industry, but in life. And I think, and really a strong sense of believing in yourself. And I think if you believe in yourself and you focus on your dreams and you don't sway away from that, I think you're a lot closer to making that magic happen.
More on the performing arts in our September issue at RaisingArizonaKids.com. I'm Vicki Belint. Thanks for listening.
Raising Arizona Kids Radio is a Small Change production. All rights reserved. This material may not be broadcast or redistributed without permission.